Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss how working capital can help grow your business and the best ways you can access this resource. It's rare for successful businesses to make it all the way to the top without some help. Even the best ideas take time to become profitable. The right injection of capital at the right time can help a good idea get off the ground or break out of a long-running plateau. However, if you're doing business online, the traditional path of applying for a loan from a bank may not be a good fit for your company. In this episode, we'll talk about how working capital can easily get you the lift you need, lent by people who have a better understanding of what you do. On this episode, you'll hear a description of working capital. Working capital is an infusion of cash, usually from a payment app or service that you're already using, to help propel your store to the next level. Next, we'll discuss how this is different from traditional bank loans. Bank loans were designed to work in the traditional, physical business environment. They are usually fixed, rigid, and don't operate according to your specific needs. Working capital, on the other hand, comes from payment apps or services that you're already using, and the payment plan is often tailored to the kind of business you do. Then, we'll talk about how store merchants can use this capital. Oftentimes, this extra capital is used for advertising and other paid avenues of driving traffic to your store. After that, we'll discuss some of the companies offering working capital. PayPal, Stripe, and Shopify Capital are some of the major players in this arena. And finally, we'll share why store builders should recommend this to their merchants. Sometimes, great stores and great ideas just don't have the cash flow they need to grow and take on more business. Working capital is a great way to stimulate the long-term growth your store needs. If you're looking for some new ways to revitalize your business, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. Chris, welcome back. Great to see you again, man.
It is good to see you, Ryan.
Today we're talking about working capital. So I think a great place to start would be to just define it. So what is working capital?
So, you know, most startups, most merchants, most entrepreneurs who are building out something will end up at some point needing money to help them grow. There's very few people who come up with an idea, build out an online vehicle to sell it, right, and immediately make profit. Now, it's not to say you can't do that, but that's not normally the case. Normally, you're like, oh, I have this great product and I built the site, but I'm not getting traffic. So I need to go spend some marketing or advertising money to bring demand in, or I need to build out, you know, and potentially hire someone to help us with demand generation or anything like that. So working capital is that money, is the money you need to help you move forward. And it's not just for when you're, you know, in fact, it's often not. When you're working with just getting started, it's often downstream. So You've hit some level, you've plateaued at some level, and you're going, how do I take this to the next level? And I, of course, talk with a lot of merchants, store owners who have been sitting at some level and go, I really need to go to the next level. And then you ask the question, right? Are you doing this kind of marketing? Are you using these kind of tools? Are you paying for this kind of outreach? Oh, no, I'm not doing any of that. And you go, Well, why not? Well, I don't know that I have the money to invest in that. And that's where working capital plays out. Working capital allows you to, and particularly what we're talking about is the kind of working capital that allows you to do things differently than if you got a regular bank loan, right? You go to a bank, they're gonna hit your credit. They're gonna have, you know, potentially flexible or changing interest rates, and you're likely going to have a fixed payment, right? They're going to say, okay, we'll give you this much money, this interest rate, which could, you know, is adjustable, and your payments are going to be $1,000 a month. And the problem with that is that if you're $1,000 a month and you have a good month, it's no issue. And if it's $1,000 a month and you have a bad month, it's an issue, right? So Stripe, PayPal, Shopify have all created working capital programs that don't work that way, right? That have a fixed rate, that have flexible payments and no credit check, and get paid out of your transactional volume, right? So as your money's coming in, you can say a part of this goes over that way, right? To repay the working capital loan. So it's really interesting. It's the dynamic with those three is that it's not based on your creditworthiness.
Yeah.
It doesn't get assigned to you in the same way. It's based on your store transactions. So they can look at, I mean, again, they're the payment gateway. So PayPal, Stripe, and even Shopify, if you're using Shopify payments, they can look at your transaction history. Mm-hmm. And if they know that you are generating a certain volume every month, they can say, okay, we now know what the risk is of loaning you money because we have the inside info and here's what we're willing to offer you.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a lot more strings attached with the bank loan per se, and it's not necessarily suited for the ups and downs of doing business.
Yeah. And I think one of the things you discover is banks are really good at certain kinds of loans for certain kinds of customers and companies, right? If I want to go get a loan to start, some initiative or just to build an addition on my house, first of all, that's really well understood, right? If I go to my bank guy and I'm like, I want to buy Facebook ads, not so understood, right? But if I go, I want to build an extra room to the back of my house, they go, okay, I get it. And then if I say, and my house is the collateral, they go, I get it. If you say, well, my business is my collateral, they're like, great, what are your assets? You're like, well, it's a digital business. It's online, right? So it's just that the banking infrastructure may not be the perfect fit for you. Now, again, there's some online store owners who are, they have a bunch of assets. They have inventory. They have those things. And so, you may want to go to a bank. But what the bank's not going to do is the bank's not going to say your payment plan is tied to how well your store's doing, right? Like you can pay more when you're doing well and you can pay less when you're not doing well. There's no bank doing that, right? But that's where these working capital, loans play out because they can say, hey, you can make a portion of your incoming revenue or your sales, pay this loan off. And so as you go up, the payment goes up. As you go down, the payment goes down. So your cash flow is never in jeopardy. You go, that sounds really interesting. Mm,
okay. So once you get this working capital, what do most merchants use it for?
The biggest thing we see over and over again, right? And this is where we start interacting with where store builders come into it. But normally what happens is the store owner, the merchant, will call the store builder, right? The developer, and say, hey, how do I get more traffic? How do I get more leads? How do I close more deals? Right? Because they think it's something I have to build. And the store builder says, well, have you tried Facebook ads? Have you tried Google ads? And that may not be the business of the store builder themselves, right? So they may throw it out as, have you thought about these things? And almost immediately the merchant will say, well, yeah, but I got to, like, how much is it going to cost? Like, I don't know. Is a Facebook ad $500 a month or is it $5,000 a month or is it $50,000 a month, right? And when I'm looking on Facebook and people are saying, I spent $62 million last year on Facebook ads, take my course for $19. And you're like, I don't know if either part of that is true. Like, I don't know if you spent $62 million and I don't know if it's really only $19, yeah, right? So when you go to a store builder and you ask them, and the merchant goes to the store builder and says, hey, what should I do with this? Or how do I take my store to the next level? Sometimes the best thing a store builder can do is say, listen, I think, number one, you ought to look at ads and marketing initiatives. And I think I can connect you up with someone who does that, or I have a part of my business that does that. And second of all, I understand that you're worried about what this is going to cost from an investment. And you ought to take a look at Stripe, PayPal's, or Shopify's, depending on what which one makes most sense, one of their working capital programs, because you could qualify in a couple of days and you could have the money in your account in a couple of days. And that's the other thing a bank is never going to do, right? They're never going to turn everything around in 4 days. So that's where a store builder comes in to say, listen, we have a, you know, you have some ideas of what you could do. It might be webinars. It might be Facebook ads. It might be Google ads. It might be Instagram ads. But we can not only tell you, here are some ideas, we can connect you up with people who could help you do this, but we can also connect you up or recommend that you look at programs that maybe you've not heard of related to funding these initiatives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like a lot of this is kind of on the marketing and advertising side. Is that where most people end up going with this?
That's where, because again, most of what people are trying to do is they're trying to generate more revenue, right? So if you're trying to drive revenue, then you go, okay, where am I going to put my money? Where am I going to invest? And what most people have done, what most merchants have done, is they have started by making sure they can build their product, whether that's a digital product or a physical product. They've started with their core supplies. That's the cost of goods sold. That's where they make the investment. The next investment they make is the website. That's where the store builder comes in, because someone has to build all that. Sometimes that's where it ends. And so the last leg there, which is, well, you understand your goods and supplies and you understand your website and the vehicle for that transaction, but where's the last part, which is the marketing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the demand generation. I gotta create enough people coming in that I'm generating my own leads and then I'm driving it back. And so you go, okay, in that scenario, you're going to need to spend some money. And that's not shocking, right? Like, we've all lived in a world where we saw a billboard, or we went to a movie and we saw an ad, or we watched TV and there's commercials, or we open up a newspaper or a magazine and there's an ad. Like, we understand that marketing is a part of it. And yet when you talk to merchants, store owners, sometimes they've just not done a lot with the ad side of it. And so working capital and these loans are an easier way to get started with that than going to a bank.
Okay. Okay. Let's dive into a little bit about who's offering this capital. I know you've mentioned a couple names. Can you kind of go back through and just kind of highlight who's given this out?
So let's start with the first one, PayPal.
Okay.
PayPal, if you, and this requires that you've been taking PayPal as a way to do transactions, right? For people to pay with PayPal. If you've been doing this kind of work, right? And you say, okay, PayPal immediately knows, okay, this is on average what your monthly volume is. So they can determine how much to loan you based on how well you've been doing. And so it'll modulate itself, right? If you're generating $1,000 a month in orders, that's, you're going to potentially get an offer that looks different than if you're generating $10,000 a month. And that's going to be different than if you're generating $100,000 a month. So, you know, they're able to do this because they look at your transaction volume and then say, okay, we know how to do a repayment plan. We know how to think through this. We know what the risk is. And there's no personal guarantee against it, so it's not putting you on it. There's no credit check, which doesn't ding you. So PayPal is one of those where you go, okay, this is a pretty good dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. They're gonna look at how fast you can pay it back, but it's one of those that you, it's not like you have to turn it around in 3 weeks or 4 weeks, right? You could take, I think it's like a year, right? And so it can be really, really interesting for someone who has said, I want to invest in some marketing, but I don't know how much I'm going to need, right? And it may be, again, $500, $1,000, right? But you go, okay, and if this works, I'm going to make more money. If I make more money, I can get more money, you know, get loan money, and then I can start building out something where all of a sudden I'm essentially getting free money because I'm borrowing, but I'm generating more leads that close more, that gives me more profit, so I can just pay it off and go, now I have a real marketing campaign running. So
right.
PayPal is the first one, right, that I talk about. And then Stripe is the other payment gateway. So Stripe, the thing to note about Stripe is they have slightly different rules if you're in the United States versus if you're in other countries, right? So again, in this particular case, I'm talking about the US, but if you've been using Stripe as your payment gateway, they too have the same thing, right? They have, they're looking at your transaction history. And so I can go into my Stripe account and I can look and I can see the same thing they see, which is over the last year, how much money have I made, right? And, you know, if you've pushed $200,000-$300,000 through your Stripe gateway, they know it, right? And that's going to change how much capital they get than if you've only pushed $20,000 through in the last year. They go, no, not so much, right? And if you've pushed $2 million through, they go, yeah, okay. Like we can make it like, so their offers are different based on how well you're doing, but they have a very similar solution to what PayPal does. Mm-hmm. And then one of the nuances I think that's different is I think you can prepay your Stripe loan back, your working capital back to Stripe. You can prepay it early. So let's say you do have a really big November, right, as a merchant, and you go, I just want to take some of this and just pay it off, whatever. I think PayPal's is just a plan, and so it's not, there's no prepayment, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
But Stripe is the other one. And then the third one, which again depends on if you're in the first two cases, we're talking about payment gateways, right? Payment processes. Shopify is an online store, right? So it's an online store platform. So it is a little different for them. But if you are using Shopify and they have something called Shopify Capital, and if you're using Shopify and using Shopify Payments, because again, that's running through you, it's not like you're connecting to another part, though I think they may be able to do it if you're connecting to, say, authorize.net. But specifically, if you're using Shopify Payments, this is a similar dynamic. They're looking at you, they can see your history, and they can, they can offer you a loan that pays back based on your transaction.
Okay. So would you say it's probably easiest to use, you know, whichever of these you're already using, that's probably the easiest to just use because they already kind of have your information?
That's right. Okay. You're not going to get it. You cannot apply for this if you have no transactions running through any of these platforms, right? Okay. So I can't go to PayPal, having never done anything with PayPal, and say, hey, can you give me a loan? They're going to say, your bank is that way, right? Yeah. But if you are using any of these as your processor, then they already have the data and they know what kind of qualified risk you are.
Okay. So as we kind of like look back across this topic, why should store builders be pushing for this and recommending it to their merchant clients?
So I think one of the hardest things that happens for store builders is the conversation around investments or payments or fees, right? However you want to slice and dice it. I think there's a lot of store builders out there that are great at building stores. I think they're not always great at being able to articulate their price, why they're worth what they're worth, all that kind of good stuff. And in the case that they do, in the case where they finally say, this is how much it costs to build this, this, or that, I think one of the things they hear the most is a merchant saying, wow, I don't have that money right now to make that kind of investment. Whether it's a new feature on the website or whether it's marketing or what have you, right? It's one of those things where you go, first of all, my problem as a store builder is that I'm not great at selling myself, or I'm not great at putting a price on it, or I'm good at putting the price on it, I'm not good at selling it, right? Closing that to say this is worth it. But most importantly, right, it's that the person on the other end of the table may or may not have the working capital to pay it. And in that scenario, one of the things you can do is say, listen, as a store builder, you go, listen, we've built this thing. It's been running for 2 years. You have a tremendous amount of a track record with Stripe. We want to talk about moving to the next level. We have this proposal. It's going to cost this much. Have you looked at Stripe's working capital program, right? Because that may get you the funds you need, or that may help mitigate you pulling together those funds so we can chase down this next project. So it eliminates the roadblock, right? So if you're pitching, right, it eliminates the roadblock. The other thing is, it's good for, like, as you talk to your merchants, it's good for them to know their options, right? You want to be helpful. You always want to be helpful. So even if they're not going to spend it with you, if they're talking about, I want to take my store to the next level. I talked to a merchant last week who was literally in that spot saying, I want to go to the next level. And I go, okay, well, what have you done from a marketing perspective? Like, what do you mean? Like, what have you done to get your store out into the world so people know? He's like, well, I post a link every now and then on Facebook and you know, social media. And I go, okay, but you're not paying to get traffic to you. No, I don't know how to do that. I'm like, well, okay, I got two people you need to meet that do Facebook ads and social media ads and demand gen for you know, paid social. And then I want to tell you about these working capital programs so that if you need to borrow to make that investment, you can. And they were like eyes wide open. Like, first, I hadn't thought about using Facebook ads or whatever. But second, I didn't even know these things existed. And you go, that's crazy. How could you not know they existed? Which is how we came up with the topic for this week, right? Because I'm like, I thought everybody knew about this. And so sometimes you just run right past the topic because you think people know it. And then you realize, no, there are people out there that don't. So right. Let's talk about working capital.
Right. I think this is just such a cool industry that it sounds like it just kind of organically developed. Like if you think about the bank in the small town giving money for people to build houses or storefronts, these are loans from people who are already kind of in that e-commerce online world. So it's going to be better suited for your needs.
Yep.
Yeah. Chris, that was fantastic. Thank you so much. We'll see you again next week.
Take care.
All right. Thanks.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on the best ways to infuse your e-commerce business with working capital. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.